Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, and the book of Proverbs, chapter 22. As you know, today is dedication day. Some call it baby dedication, but it's not limited to just babies. It could be to young children also, but also of their parents, because when we dedicate our children to the Lord, we are also dedicating ourselves. But it also may be a time of rededication of you or me. The fact of the matter is, I think there are times that we need to rededicate ourselves to the Lord. And dedication, or to be dedicated, means to be committed. And folks, we need to be committed to our Lord. It means to be devoted. And yes, we're devoted to the raising of our children, but we need to be devoted to the Lord. It means to be sanctified. Sanctified or separated unto the Lord. And we need to do that daily and to show loyalty. It also means to love. And we need to realize that the greatest love you can show your child is in by bringing him to the house of God. The idea of dedicating children to the Lord comes from the Old Testament story of Hannah, who did not have a child, and her husband, Elkanah's other wife. Now, I can't imagine having two wives. I mean, to be quite honest, having one wife telling me what to do is hard enough. I heard some laughter, but I didn't hear an amen out there. But gentlemen, can you imagine having two wives telling you, this needs to be done? You'd be outvoted all the time. But she had no children, and she was wearied by this, and she was bothered, and she prayed to the Lord and said, if you give me a man-child, I will dedicate him to the Lord for all the days of his life. And it's from this thought that we have the idea of dedicating a child to the Lord. If you would, the book of Genesis chapter 1, we'll begin reading at verse 26. And would you please stand with me, if you're able, as we read from the book of Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image. God said, let us make man. He did not evolve. He's not here by chance. God made us for a purpose. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. May I say this? It is the only commandment of the Lord that man has ever kept. Because we have been fruitful and we have multiplied, and there are a lot of people on planet Earth. But I don't believe we should be trying to reduce the population on our Earth. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for your great love. We thank you for the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you that we can serve an almighty God. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. But the book of Proverbs chapter 22, did you still have that? Proverbs chapter 22, a very familiar verse, verse 6. It tells us to train up a child. And may I say this, that when we are thinking of training a child, you can train a child to do good, right? Absolutely. You can train them to have good habits. And there are times you're training your child without ever saying a word, because your actions speak louder than words, correct? I mean, I know this, that when I got married and the very first time that Don and I went grocery shopping, because my mother shopped at A&P, where was I going when it came time to go grocery shopping? A&P. The problem was, is my wife's mother shopped at Kroger's because she worked at Kroger's. You talk about having your first fight. We really didn't have a fight. We went to Piggly Wiggly. No, we really went to Kroger's, didn't we? Because they gave S&H green stamps. How many of you remember S&H green stamps? Yes, we got a number of things with S&H green stamps. Yes, that was good. I'm glad we went to Kroger's. But the fact of the matter is, you can train your child without ever saying a word, which means you can train your child to do wrong just as easily as you can train your child to do good. So we have to be careful with our actions, correct? How about you grandparents? Can you train your grandchildren a certain way? Hello? I'm trying to get my grandchildren to realize that, Swiss cheese is great. Miracle Whip. Onion bagel. Toasted. Folks, it doesn't get any better than that. No? Try it. You'll like it. And if you don't like it, then bring the Swiss cheese to me and the onion bagels and the Miracle Whip, and I'll take care of it for you. But it says here in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way, what? He should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let me give you an example of that verse. A number of years ago, and now it's quite a few years, we had a couple that got married. The boy and the girl, they came to church here. They were involved as much as young people get involved in church. And they got married. And after a while, they virtually stopped coming to church. And on a given Monday, my wife and I went to their house and knocked on the door. And I could tell there was some commotion going on inside. And I thought to myself, maybe this isn't a good time. But suddenly the wife opened the door. And I don't know who she was expecting it, but it wasn't us. She wasn't excited to see Pastor. Well, I wasn't pastor then. I was just working here for the church. She wasn't expecting to see me and Donna, but she let Donna in, and I went in also. And I could tell that there was some tension between husband and wife. He was under the sink working on a plumbing problem, and then I understood why there was tension in the house. There's nothing quite like a plumbing problem. That's three trips to the hardware store, correct? At minimum, three trips to the hardware store. But what I noticed as he stood up and he came out, that sitting on the floor were cases of empty beer cans. Underneath the cabinet, on the other side where he wasn't working, was empty beer cans, and I knew immediately there was issues. And he got up and he looked at me and he looked down and he looked at me and he looked down and he goes, uh-oh. And I knew he had a problem. Now, some of you have children that have an issue with alcohol, and it is a problem. But we need to be positive examples, correct? Positive examples. Well, they stopped coming to our church. And about 12 years ago, I'm going to say 12 years ago. Can I use the word 12 years ago? Some of you are trying to figure out who I'm talking about. I can tell your minds are whirling. You're thinking, who's he talking about? But 12 years ago, I met the man. And he came to me and he stuck out his hand and he says, Paul, he says, I got things right with the Lord. And he says, my wife and I go to church every Sunday. Was I excited? I was excited. Now, I must admit, I wish it was here they were coming, but the fact of the matter, they were going to a Bible-believing church. You know, train up a child, and when he is old, he will not depart Your hope is that they will get it right. They'll get it right. When it comes to raising a child, one can find hundreds, yea, thousands of books willing to give you advice on the subject. It is a grave responsibility. It is 24/7. It's when you feel like it and when you don't feel like it. It's during the time in which they are the sweetest things around and it's going through the terrible twos or the teens. Praise God, our sons are through the teens. The only problem is our grandchildren are now in the teens. Tell you what. But it's important that we remain good, positive influences on our children and on our grandchildren. And I don't know, do any of you have any great-grands? None of you? Well, oh, we have one back here, great-grand, two great-grand, three great-grand, four. There are some with great-grand. You still can be an example to those coming up behind us. Ephesians 6:4 tells the Father to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Titus 2:4-5 directs wives to love their children. Why do you think that Paul had to tell Titus, tell the women to love their children? I guess there are some animals that eat their children. That's supposed to be funny, folks. Okay. But it says, love their children and to be keepers at home. In other words, women, you need to make sure that your home life is a place of that's good. You need to make your house a place your children want to come back. So number one, you need to love them. You need to love your children. You need to love your grandchildren. That does not mean giving them everything they want. I know we live in a world where we think we have to give our kids everything and we have to do everything for them. But the fact of the matter is, that's not love. It does not mean letting them do whatever they want. We'll talk about that more in a moment. But may I say this, that some spell love, T-I-M-E. I know we live in a busy world, but our children and our grandchildren need time. They need time. The same is so in our marriages. We're devoted to each other and we need to spend time with each other. The same is so in our relationship with Christ. Should we spend time with Christ? One of you agrees. Should we spend time with Christ? Now that's a loaded question, isn't it? But we should spend time with Christ. When was the last time you talked with Him? I'm not talking about necessarily praying. I'm talking about when was the last time you said, Lord, and then began a conversation. When was the last time that you spent time with Him discussing your life, but also in praying? It's important. We're to love our children. Number two, we are to discipline them. Walls and boundaries are good things. Walls and boundaries. I believe it's good that we have walls. This is what you can do, and this is what you cannot do. But when we have the walls and the boundaries, we must be consistent in our attitudes about that. May I say this, that child and parent is not equal. The child is not equal with the parent. The parent is in charge. The child is to what? Obey. The child is not in charge. I don't care what the Disney movies show you. I don't care what TV makes like the parents are all stupid and children are always the right and bright ones. But the fact of the matter is, as adults, we are in charge. In charge. In other words, we have to teach our children to be honest. Yes? We need to teach our children to work. I was at McDonald's up here on Van Dyke, just north of 21 Mile Road. And when I entered, I knew there was something wrong because there was screaming in the back. That's never a good thing at McDonald's. But there was the manager and there was one of the workers, and they were arguing, and the manager was saying, "You're supposed to be at work right now." And the worker was saying, "I don't want to work now. I just want my check." Well, the manager said, "You're fired, and we'll mail you your check." And he came out to where I was, and he apologized, and I said, "It must be hard sometimes to find good workers." And he says, "It's very hard to find teenagers today that know how to work." That know how to work. We need to teach our kids how to work. I think that's important. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I remember my dad and my mother saying, "You know, you're 12 years old, 13 years old, you need to do some work in the subdivision." And they made out some flyers, and I handed out flyers in the neighborhood so I could cut grass. And so I cut grass at 12 years old. I had chores around the house. You think it's important that our kids have chores? I think so. We need to train our kids how to work, right? They need to learn to obey. Well, where are they going to learn to obey? Do you think they should learn to obey in the public schools? Let me ask Kelly, do you think your kids should learn to obey there or at home? They should learn to obey at home, right? So they obey at school? Absolutely. I remember, now, this is honest truth. I was in the fourth grade. I remember this. The teacher says, "I'm going to the office. I don't want anybody to move." Fourth grade. How many of us moved? Nobody. Nobody. Now, I don't know if that would happen in today's public schools. They couldn't leave them. We didn't have it. She was gone, and I remember her coming back. Why? Because we were taught to obey. Kids should be taught to obey. Oh, it's going to hurt their feelings. My feelings got hurt regularly. But you learn, right? There needs to be boundaries. There needs to be discipline. We need to warn them. As a pastor, I try to warn you. There are rights and there are wrongs. There are consequences to bad behavior. As parents, we are not to be enablers. As grandparents, we are not to be enablers. I want you to ponder this thought. This was what Brother Hightower basically said Wednesday night, except it took him about 30 minutes to say it, and I'm going to say it in about a minute. Adam and Eve walked close to the Lord on this day. The next day they sinned. And what did they do? They hid. They hid. Our bad actions have consequences. Consequences. One of the consequences, Pastor Stephen was talking about this past week when we were doing some weeding in the front of the building. Weeds are a result of sin, bad attitudes. come along and people say, well, they're going through a time of life. No, a bad attitude is a bad attitude is a bad attitude. We need to read about the prodigal son who took his money and left, and he lived in the wrong way. There were consequences. We think of Gehazi, who lied to Naaman and then to his master Elisha, and in theory, he lied to God, and he was punished for it. Achan took what was the Lord's, and he was punished. We need to warn them of bad behavior. To those that are addicted to smoking or drinking or drug abuse, gambling, it began with a bad choice. We need to teach our children to make right choices. Right choices. Because we can become addicted to something very, very quickly. But number four, we need to bring them up in the admonition and nurture of the Lord. The greatest gift my parents gave me was to bring me to church. What church did they bring me to? This church. This church. Now, we weren't always meeting in this building. We were meeting up in an elementary school up here across from Utica High School. And we met there, and I came to know the Lord as Savior there at that facility. Though I did it at home, prayed and asked the Lord to be my Savior. I was baptized through this church, though not in this baptistry, but in Detroit at the Gilead Baptist Church. We had to travel a long way to get baptized back in those days. It was at this church that I met my future wife. Now, I'm not saying that that's where you're going to meet your future wife, or met your future wife was in church, but I was fortunate that that's where I met Donna. Most of you know that story, and I won't go down that road now, though my wife always likes me to talk about it. But the fact of the matter is, it's because of my life in church that my life has been blessed. And you're a blessing to me. Thank you. But the greatest gift my parents ever gave me was bringing me to church. Because it was here that I learned of my spiritual needs because of my sinful condition. I mean, at the age of six, I was quite a sinner. But the fact of the matter is, I knew that I was a sinner. And I accepted the Lord as my Savior. Through the ministry of this church, I came to know many good, godly men and women. But in conclusion, we need to be a positive example. The choir sang the song about being an example. And we can be good examples. We can be bad examples. We need to look at people and say, okay, I don't want to act that way. Or I do want to act this way. Being examples to our children and our grandchildren, to our nieces and our nephews, to our cousins, to those that we live near, to those people that we work with. We need to be positive example for the cause of Christ. I believe this, that America could have revival. But it has to begin in our churches. We have to have a concern for the cause of Christ. We're talking about Wednesday night handbilling. How hard is that to do? The handbill. For most of us, it's not hard at all. Do we care about our future generation? Vacation Bible School is for children, first through eighth grade. We want to see first through eighth graders come to church and to Christ. We need to be good examples. In a couple of moments, we're going to have an invitation time. And for you that have children that you need to go get, you may want to go get them now. But we're going to have an invitation time, and you can dedicate your sons or daughters to the Lord. It doesn't have to be someone that's just a few years old. It could be someone older, but I'll leave that up to you. But in realizing that when you dedicate your child, you're also dedicating yourself, because you're saying to the Lord, I'm giving you my child. You can't say, but I'm not giving me. No, you need to be giving yourself. Families can come together if they want, because we're examples to our children, to those that are around us. But you may want to come and just dedicate yourself. You may want to come to the altar and pray and say, Lord, it's about you. It's not about me. You may want to come and sit on the front pew and pray, or come to the altar and pray, and you can do that. You may want to come and pray for children, well, to be honest, that are older. I don't know how this could happen, but our children are now older than my wife. But you may want to come and pray for your children. It was Jim Foster that said, when they're younger, they step on your toes. When they're older, they step on your heart. Because children can be a disappointment. I remember when one of my sons was a disappointment. And I'm glad that things have worked out, that he has things in a better condition now. But the fact of the matter is, we can care about our kids, don't we? We want to pray for them, maybe. Maybe you want to come and pray about your marriage. Folks, it's sad that in Christian circles that divorce rate is 50%. And that's sad. Your marriage is precious. Maybe you want to come and pray for your marriage. We'll give you that opportunity in just a moment. And shall we stand together? Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this time of dedication and rededication, Lord, we ask that your will be done. We ask, Lord, that you would bless. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.